the general kind of context in which Christians are being killed and displaced in Syria, of course, is the Syrian civil war. And I think one of the lessons that people in the region have taken, and I'm getting this from the impressions that I got living in Egypt this spring and visiting over prior years, one of the lessons of the past decade or so, ever since the Iraq War, is that war can be far worse than just stable, repressive authoritarianism. It can be worse than the dictatorships that people in the Middle East don't really like living under. There was a kind of cautionary tale from Iraq. Some of the autocrats in the region use that to their advantage to say, like, don't try to push for change because we could end up like Iraq. And now there's a cautionary tale from the Arab Spring, even though the primary impetus for change in that case was domestic opposition, not really foreign imposed regime change. But you had in Egypt, for example, after the rise of the Muslim Brotherhood to power, tremendous concern, tremendous anxiety among Christians about the way the country was going. And I heard that anxiety when I spoke to people when I visited between summer 2012 and summer 2013 when Morsi was deposed. And that anxiety, that trepidation about the Muslim Brotherhood and what their control over the country meant for Christians, it wasn't a fear that the Muslim Brotherhood would do something like ISIS, but it was more a fear that just ideologically, culturally, they would reshape the country in a way that Egyptian Christians wouldn't have a sense of belonging. And they really think, I mean, Egyptian Christians think of themselves as having deeper historical roots, in a way, a deeper connection to the country of Egypt than Muslims. So it's like, this is our country, we're Egyptian, and then, oh no, this is going to be re-identified as, you know, it's a Muslim country, and you're sort of second class. Their anxiety was a big part of why they participated and supported the movement against Morsi that began on June 30th and culminated in the July 3rd coup led by Abdel Fattah al-Sisi. So you can kind of think about Egypt when we turn to Syria, where Christians there may not like Bashar al-Assad or may not have liked his father that much, but they weren't being persecuted by Assad, by the Assad regime, the way they're being persecuted by ISIS. So there's an ambivalence there. It's like, well, we don't want to be under dictatorship, but we also don't want to be under the rule of militias who are even more malevolent and more aggressive toward us. Well, it is a kind of ethnic cleansing, although it's not just directed toward non-Muslims, because we know ISIS has also attacked Muslims quite viciously as well. Syria has a number of populations, different sects of Islam, as well as Christians. Yeah, it's very much part of war. I mean, if you look at where ISIS is actually able to operate, mainly Iraq and Syria, and beyond that, it hasn't spread. Although I think a year ago there was all this concern about it. It kind of really pushing into Turkey or getting into Jordan or something or getting into Saudi Arabia. But where there are functioning states, ISIS doesn't get much of a foothold. So ISIS is both a product of war in the sense of the Iraqi civil war, the Syrian civil war, and then a cause of continuing that war with all kinds of negative and horrific ramifications for vulnerable communities, including women, children, and religious minorities. I would situate the experience of Christians in Syria as one facet of just a broader problem of vulnerable populations suffering in a condition in war.